We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. Hour numero dos goes now. This is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown. T2, the Timinator, is on the board today. If you want to be a part of the show, do it! 844-FAN-PHONE, 844-326-3663. 844-326-3663. You can also tweet us at The Rob Brown Show or text us on the text line at 71307. 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-M. We'll read them on the air. FAN, F-A-N. Thanks again to Rashad Beard. Talks Panther football with us at around 9:40 every single Thursday. Texter said, Rob, Hayden Hurst is a way better security blanket than Thielen for a rookie quarterback. No, listen. I've been saying for weeks now that, to me, of the positions that need to be addressed, quarterback is obviously number one. And the Panthers know that, right? They let DJ Moore go in a trade solely because they knew that addressing the quarterback position was the most important thing out there. They had to get that taken care of. And by letting DJ Moore go, they have, assuming that they get the pick correct. But the second position that I said needed to be of the most importance, ordinarily you'd say offensive line, but the Panthers have actually constructed a pretty solid offensive line, now anchored by Bradley Bozeman, who got extended, right? The next position to me was the tight end. Lonzo and I had a conversation about 2 weeks ago about tight ends in the National Football League. And the fact that if you look at the tight end position, that the best teams in the league, Kansas City with Kelsey, the Super Bowl champs, you know, the best teams in the league have put a renewed interest on finding tight ends that are good offensive weapons and can hold their own in a blocking scheme as well. And when you have a rookie quarterback, having a tight end that can run a route, release across the middle, release down the middle, find a hole in an interior coverage, sit down in it, or maybe most importantly of all, even when they don't get the ball, run a route that drags defenders one way and shows the quarterback where the defense is flowing to, that can be the biggest, and I'm going to use the texter's term again, security blanket of all. And I think that Hayden Hurst is a phenomenal addition for just that. Because whether it is Bryce Young, who is probably a more accurate passer than C.J. Stroud, but as we mentioned, going 5'10", 188-ish, is not exactly a dude that I want scrambling more often than necessary. Having a tight end that can sweep the field in the direction he's rolling to and keep linebackers where they are supposed to stay and not dropping back to help in coverage or sprinting forward on the attack is an incredibly valuable asset. C.J. Stroud is going to be a better runner at the NFL. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's more versatile with his legs. But his arm precision is not as good as Bryce Young's is. So when CJ gets out of the pocket, I want to have an additional asset down the field at the tight end spot that either gives him the opportunity to not have to throw a deep ball on the run or is a dude that forces linebackers, again, to stay in the honest position, which opens up running room for C.J. Stroud so that when he runs, I can set him up with an offense that gives him a little bit more freedom when he gets outside of the pocket to create with his legs. Listen, when you roll out left specifically, because as Rashad pointed out in his pro day yesterday, that really seemed to be the weakness. When you roll out left, which we know is not your strong side, I want you to feel free to move the ball down the field with your legs. Slide. Don't take unnecessary hits. Don't run into contact where it can be avoided. I don't need you hurt. But feel free to create. And if I want to give him the room to create, I want a tight end to drag across the middle to force coverage to stay back. If you come up and attack C.J. Stroud and try to take away that room for him to be creative with his legs, I want an additional target in that area that is at a short to mid range. Because the further I'm asking CJ to throw on the run, the more likely it is that he will be inaccurate when he does. And I want to avoid that to the best of my ability. Carolina, as I said the other day on the show, Carolina, I think, has had the best offseason in the National Football League. Now, we might evaluate that 3 years from now and go, they blew it. Hell, we might evaluate it 3 years from now and go, damn, what an offseason, right? They gave up DJ Moore. They get the number one pick. They've got the cream of the crop. Yeah. It's a picket quarterback with the number one overall. They get their guy. They don't have to get who's left. They get their guy. And giving up DJ Moore, they brought in Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen is probably not quite as talented as DJ Moore. He's certainly not the deep ball threat that DJ Moore is. But Adam Thielen is probably one of the better space receivers in the National Football League, even at 32. He sees defenses well. He sees breakdowns in coverage well. He sits down somewhere in the area where the defense is not, and he's got great hands when he does. That is exactly the type of wide receiver that I'm looking for a rookie quarterback. I don't need, I'm assuming C.J. Stroud, though it might be Bryce Young. I don't need him to be looking for a 45-yard down the field prayer of a pass, especially when he's on the move. I want him to have a receiver that when he looks up the field, he can read the break, know where that receiver's going, trust that if that receiver is going to a specific position, it is because that receiver understands there will be space there and gives him some open area to deliver the football. It's a great pickup. I still think you need a solid deep ball threat. That's why I asked Rashad, with the second round pick, the number 39 overall, do you go receiver? The answer for me is hell yes, and definitively you do. And particularly, I'm looking for a guy who can get down the field, right? Jaxon Smith-Njigba's right there. And if I got a trade from 39 to 28 or 29 to get there, so freaking be it. I'm going to do it because I need that spot filled for a rookie quarterback. Your goal is to make it to where your rookie quarterback has as much help around him as is physically freaking possible. If you do that, you got yourself a much better opportunity for that quarterback to survive. So the Hayden Hurst pickup is exceptional. And it's at the position that I said was the second most important position for the Panthers to address. The first being quarterback, the second being tight end, and now the third being wide receiver still. I like the Adam Thielen pickup. I like TMJ as a red zone wide receiver and possession guy. I like Shai Smith as a third wide receiver option in a five wide spread. But I still want a deep ball wide receiver. And that's why that's the direction I hope Carolina goes in with the 39th overall. Rashad agrees with me. All right, and we have not agreed on a hell of a lot during this offseason, but that is one of the few things that we have hit on together. So, with all of that being said, Texter says, fan, no way, bro. Falcons are killing free agency. Look, the Falcons are having a good free agency as well. I think the Saints are. In fact, the only team in the NFC South that I do not think is having a very good free agency season right now is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I told y'all, when Brady stepped away, that team was going to go in the handbasket for a little while. Turns out, they almost did last year before Brady stepped away. But, that being said, I don't think they're having a very good free agent period right now, or at least not as good as Atlanta's, New Orleans, and Carolina's. And of those three, subjectively speaking, in my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion, I think Carolina's had the best offseason to this point. Not just in free agency, but remember, they get to acquire their rookie quarterback and they get to acquire the rookie quarterback of their choice. Now, the Falcons could fix that, because we are still waiting to see if perhaps, though they said they have not, remember, it is smokescreen season, if the Falcons maybe make a move for Lamar Jackson, which I, for the Falcons, as a Saints fan, please do not. But for the Falcons, I would love to see Atlanta make a move on CJ Stroud, on Lamar Jackson. Lamar is available to be negotiated with right now. Remember, you can put an offer sheet into Lamar. If it is greater than the franchise tag, the non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar right now, then the Ravens can match it. And I think there's a number somewhere that the Ravens go, eh, not worth it. If there wasn't, they'd have paid the man already. If Atlanta puts in for Lamar Jackson, Atlanta could very well take that crown away from the Panthers for best offseason, at least in the NFC South, if not across the entire National Football League. Because the Falcons need a quarterback. You can sit here and tell me that they are in for Desmond Ridder. Like, they believe he's the dude. That last year was just a bad situation, a bad setup for Lamar, or for Desmond. I didn't see it. I didn't see anything that made me go, this kid can grow into that role. All right. Sorry. I like the guy. I hope I'm wrong, but I didn't see it out of him last year. If Atlanta goes and gets Lamar, you're the kings of the NFC South offseason. Doesn't translate to anything, but you would be. But Carolina, by addressing need number two, tight end, need number one, quarterback with the number one overall pick, need number three, halfway with Adam Thielen, and with pick number 39 in return for Christian McCaffrey, you still have the opportunity to address that wide receiver spot. Now you've addressed needs number one, two, and three, and you got what? Five more draft picks to play with for the defensive needs, etc. I think it's a phenomenal setup. You've addressed running back with Miles Sanders. Respect to Deontay Foreman and what Deontay Foreman did for the Cats last year, I think Miles Sanders is an upgrade alongside Chuba Hubbard in the running back spot. You upgraded there. So, all of that being said, I love the offseason. I think the Cats have not necessarily shown their hand, but I think they tipped the cap. We told you about the McCown discussion, the quarterback's coach for the Panthers. Said to C.J. Stroud, we need to find a court and play some horse. C.J. said, there's a court right over there, coach. To which he responded, I'll tell you what, when you moved. In fact, you know what? I got that audio, T2. Can you pull that audio for me? So this happened after C.J. Stroud's pro day workout came to its conclusion. We told you yesterday there were 14 members of the Carolina Panther administration that was there. Right? That was there. McCown was one of them. Now, in this clip, which is relatively short, you are going to hear a couple of things. You're going to have CJ talking to other members. You're going to hear him address Frank Reich, the head coach of the Panthers. You're going to hear him address David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers. He dapped both of them up. And then you're going to hear the discussion about playing horse between McCown and Stroud. I'll let you listen to the audio. You can decide for yourself.
Find a court. Play some horse.
It's right here. Come on.
Okay.
Well, no, maybe, I got to do a little
meeting. We'll find a court.
All right. See you, buddy. Now I'm going to take his money.
No.
when you live in Charlotte. That's what he said, or at least that's what I heard. When you live in Charlotte, and C.J. Stroud said, I'm going to take your money, which again, C.J. Stroud ain't hurting for confidence, man. Like, the one knock on him that Bryce Young gets the edge, the one spot where he gets the edge was ball placement. So C.J. Stroud's calling himself a ball placement expert or a ball placement whatever he called himself, professional. Kid's not lacking for confidence. And for him to look his potential new quarterback's coach in the face and go, there's a court right over there. Let's go hoop it up right now. And when McCown said, when you live in Charlotte, C.J. Stroud said, I'm going to take your money. Like, I'm in. I like this guy. I think he's the right pick. All of that being said, and I know this is a very anticlimactic way to end this segment. The Panthers could come out today, right now, and say, we're drafting C.J. Stroud. We're drafting Bryce Young. Hell, they could come out and say we're drafting Anthony Richardson or Will Levis. They're not going to. It's going to be Stroud or Young. But they could come out right now and tell us exactly who they're drafting, and it doesn't matter, right? They're the number one pick. But I think it was fine yesterday to not say anything. Right? I still want Bryce Young to feel today during his pro day in Tuscaloosa like he's interviewing for the number one pick overall. Now, the Texans will have somebody there. I'm sure the Falcons will have somebody there. Right? I'm sure Vegas will, despite signing Jimmy Garoppolo, still have somebody there. Seattle will. Detroit. Everybody's going to have somebody there to watch him. But I want Bryce Young to feel as if he is working out for the number one overall pick. And if I don't tip my hand, and if I don't tell them that CJ is the guy, you're going to get the best you can get out of Bryce Young. And while I think Stroud's the guy, as we have mentioned time and time again, Bryce Young, as far as talent goes, is today the better quarterback. Passing the ball doesn't mean he will be at the league because the size is a concern. Before you hit me with the Drew Brees stuff, Drew Brees was the exception, not the rule. Look at Kyler Murray. Decent. Got some questions about his mental strength in the game, right? But Kyler Murray didn't go to Arizona under Cliff Kingsbury and shake the world up, right? He's done okay. Russell Wilson's 5'11". He's had a pretty good career. Been to a Super Bowl, right? But if we run through all the other undersized quarterbacks in the league, Wilson and Brees are the exceptions, not the rule. And that hurts Bryce Young. But I still want to see if his talent spinning the rock is enough to make up for that, which is why I don't think Carolina's really tipped the cap yet. Let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. Got a few more things I want to get into, including one more World Baseball Classic segment. Why? Because the ratings are out from the United States audience. And I think the ratings for the U.S. audience make a couple of points. And I'll tell you what they are when we come back here in just a minute. My name is Rob Brown, T2. The Timidator, Tim Snow, is on the board. You're listening to the Rob Brown Show. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Fan Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Tron has texted the show. He said, I feel like you, Rob, but I really think the Falcons are out on Lamar, and I will agree that Carolina is winning the offseason. Texter says, Rob, as a Falcons fan, I'll stick with Ritter or Heineke and build the lines. And Texter says, fan, no way, bro. Falcons are killing the free agency. Texter said, Rob, Hayden Hurst was picked right after DJ Moore in the 2018 draft. Texter says, Hayden Hurst is a way better security blanket than Adam Thielen for a rookie quarterback. So there you go, man. There you go. There's some of the opinions from the fan base on where the Carolina Panthers stand right now. All right, let me get to this World Baseball Classic thing. The World Baseball Classic ratings for the United States are out. Now, we know that Japan's numbers were ridiculous, right? It was something like 40% of their population tuned into the World Baseball Classic final. Keep in mind, that's on the other side of the world, so it's at a much more difficult time to watch, and yet they had a huge portion of their population tune in. So how did the Americans look? Well, the Shohei Ohtani versus Mike Trout matchup to end the game checked in, according to Sports Media Watch, with over 5 million people watching altogether. And included 4.48 million viewers on Fox Sports 1, 4.97 million viewers when combined with Fox Deportes, and then obviously you've got who knows how many people watching on an online stream. So safe to say that there were, what, at least 3,000 people around the entire country watching on an unregistered illegal stream. That would bring you to a number well up over 5 million. It shatters the previous American viewership for a World Baseball Classic event that took place back in 2007 when the Americans took on Puerto Rico in the final of that tournament. It created a situation where it was the most watched game of baseball if you placed it into last year's MLB season, with the exception of a single game. It was one of the most watched non-World Series baseball games in a very long time, according to Sports Media Watch. It reportedly outdrew all but one game on Fox Sports 1 last season, including some NLCS games. The last time an MLB regular season game saw more viewers was back in 2021 for the Field of Dreams game. And no other regular season game has seen more viewers since a Yankees-Red Sox game all the way back in 2011 overall. It also outdrew Fox's own broadcast of 9/11 Lone Star and Accused on the regular Fox channel. So, what does this mean? It proves, once again, something that I have said for a very long time. We all love sports. We all pay attention to sports. We all check in on sports. But we want fun in our sports. We want drama. And the only thing we might want more than drama is uniqueness, right? Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that every franchise needs to create a gimmick for every game. But the most watched Major League Baseball game in a decade was the first Field of Dreams game. Remember, they played that on site where the movie Field of Dreams was filmed. They had the players walking out of the cornfield out in the outfield. I mean, it was really cool. It was a gimmick, sure, but it was cool, and we all tuned in to watch it. And then they went so far as to create some drama around the game with the movie and everything else. We love a gimmick. We love some drama. We continue to. So, the problem with Major League Baseball, I am not a doom and gloomer, right? I constantly hear radio show hosts around the country dropping lines like, Major League Baseball's in trouble, Major League Baseball is dying, Major League Baseball is this, Major League Baseball is that. I don't believe it. The COVID season hurt baseball a lot. The lockout hurt baseball a lot. In fact, I have said for a number of years, it wasn't but about 5 or 6 years ago that I started getting back into baseball, a Major League Baseball, a sport that I paid attention to, but not nearly to the level I did before I did the lockout back in the 90s, right? It took me 20 years to get back to the point where I was a guy who was watching 75, 80, 100 baseball games of my favorite team a year. They started trying new stuff. They started tinkering with the game. They started giving us some gimmick games here and there, and it has worked. We want drama. We want uniqueness. The World Baseball Classic provided us with something unique. I had somebody the other day, after it was announced that the World Baseball Classic will return in 2026, say, what's the objective? What's the goal here, right? What's the goal of the WBC? And my answer was, I think that the goal from MLB's authorities in putting together the WBC is to try to get the World Baseball Classic on par with the World Cup. They want it to be as prestigious as the world's most popular sporting event, the World Cup. I responded with, that shouldn't be the goal. The goal should not be to try to create a tournament that rivals the world's favorite tournament, the World Cup. That is not the goal, or at least it shouldn't be. What the goal should be for the World Baseball Classic is to be exactly what it was this year. The goal should be something that generates interest in baseball leading into the Major League Baseball season. Because if you just go into the regular season of Major League Baseball without some hype, as probably 20 of 30 teams do every year, if you go in with no hype, you go in with no hype. But the World Baseball Classic generated a lot of interest. More people watched the World Baseball Classic final, a game that, by the way, has exactly zero impact on Major League Baseball with the exception of some injuries. Edwin Diaz going down and not being available for this year for the Mets. That might be what hands the Atlanta Braves the NL East crown. Got a lot of baseball between here and that decision. But not having Diaz is probably going to cost the Mets 4, 5, 6 games in a division that is expected to have two teams, maybe three, separated by 1 to 2 games maximum when it's all said and done. The Braves are a threat to win a hundo. Adding Trey Turner, who was a baller in the clutch for the Americans in the WBC. You saw what Kyle Schwarber did. The Phillies might be a dark horse NL East contender. Again, I say that as if the Phillies weren't a World Series caliber team last year. But even with that being the case, right, them eliminating Atlanta last year, that being the case, the Braves and the Mets are expected to both be 100-win teams. The Phillies are going to threaten it. That division might be separated by a game or two. Losing Edwin Diaz might be the death blow for the New York Mets. But that's the only impact it has on baseball, with the exception of, I sat on Twitter Tuesday night after that game ended for an hour. And normally, if Rob Brown is scrolling Twitter for an hour at 10:45 till midnight, it's because I am doom scrolling. I am reading all the terrible things happening in the world today and hating it. I wasn't. My TL was just baseball. There were fans of the Mets with Jeff McNeil, the Dodgers with Mookie Betts, the Angels with Trout and Ohtani, the Phillies. There were fans of every team who were like, all right, if that dude can do this here against the best talent the world can assemble, cannot wait to see what they do in the MLB. And the ratings back that up. We love drama. We love gimmicks. That's why professional wrestling, despite the hatred that some of you have for it, still sells out 30,000-seat arenas around the country week in and week out multiple times per week. We love gimmicks. And all of that drives interest in the sport, which I think was great. Let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute from right now. There is an argument that the NCAA made against NIL. There's not much I love more than watching people in positions of authority try to convince you that something that hurts them is a bad idea for all of us, except when they get proven very wrong very publicly. And that has just happened. I'll tell you how and why when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Sweet Steve, let me start this entire segment over. Wow. Coming hot out the gates, Rob Brown. Well done. Try that again. Sweet 16 basketball starts today, 3:30 p.m. We get our first game coming up in the next hour. We will take a look at today's matchups, betting favorites, odds ons, and predictions. But I want to talk about the tournament in a different way. Here in just a minute. We're going to talk NIL again. Wait a second. Don't touch that dial just yet. NIL was a contentious issue when it was getting its start at the NCAA level. So contentious, in fact, that multiple representatives went in front of as high as the Supreme Court in order to argue that NIL players getting paid would detract from what Americans love about college sports. And what is it that the NCAA said we love about college sports? Amateurism. We love that these are kids who aren't professionals. And I guess the NIL was going to break that, according to the NCAA. Now, I'm sure that there are more than zero people who, when athletes started making money, said, I'm out. But if you look at the numbers behind the complete and total audience of March Madness, you wouldn't see that. Mark Emmert testified in the Obama v. NCAA case that NIL would be, quote, tantamount to converting college sports into minor league sports, and we know that in the U.S., minor league sports aren't very successful either for fan support or for the fan experience. Well, we told you a minute ago that the World Baseball Classic had over 5 million Americans watching it. That was one of the most successfully televised baseball games in years. First round of the men's NCAA basketball tournament last Thursday, according to CBS and TNT, averaged at any given point, and keep in mind, this is during the work day, right? Now you hear the story every year about the fact that the NCAA tournament costs the country billions of dollars in productivity on its opening two rounds, which is fine. Probably true. But this is on a workday. Throughout the second half of the workday, on Thursday and Friday, CBS and TNT reported that they had an average of 9.2 million people watching. That is, at any given time, 9.2 million people watching NCAA tournament games on Thursday. And they crested 9.3 million people watching tournament games on Friday. Now, the women's tournament plays to a much smaller audience. On average, over on ABC and ESPN, it played to just 257,000 people, which is, in my opinion, an unfortunate number compared to the men's tournament. But that is up 27% over last year. That's a pretty good push, right? Pretty good push. Now, that was without competition from the men. When we get into the last two rounds of the women's tournament, that number will likely come up, but so will the men's. We are now two full seasons into the age of name, image, and likeness. And it turns out, according to television revenue, that nobody cares. And again, I use the word nobody in a linguistic sense. Nobody cares. I'm sure there are a few people who have backed out because they just, for whatever reason, can't stand the thought that athletes can make some dough, some cheddar, some cheese, some paper. But ratings-wise, the numbers are up. This tournament follows a college football season, according to Yahoo Sports, that ESPN said was the most watched in 5 years. Fox Sports has claimed numerous record-breaking viewership numbers, including a Michigan-Ohio State game featuring two teams fighting for a playoff spot that 17.1 million people watched. Now, March Madness. I actually think basketball has benefited from March Madness. There are beliefs, whether it is true or not, that Gonzaga's Drew Timmy stuck around because he knew going to the G League might not make him as much money as NIL, or that another year at Gonzaga would give him more experience, more practice, more ability to be a solid NBA player when he gets there. And the NIL money gave him justification to stay and take that experience. So it was a combination of not just a paycheck for being Drew Timmy, but a paycheck for being Drew Timmy that is accompanied by high-level competitive basketball that allowed him to profit on the side. Kentucky's Oscar Tshiebwe, same story. What I think we can take from the numbers is that the NCAA and a lot of y'all said that NIL would actually be a curse, not a blessing to college sports. That it was going to hurt viewership. People were going to stop caring. Oh, it's just minor leagues now. I don't want to watch. And just like I told you it wouldn't, it has had no impact. In fact, quite the opposite. Over the past 2 years, numbers for March Madness have gone up. Numbers for college football have gone up, if you believe the networks. And sure, the networks absolutely have a reason to lie. But if you believe the networks, the numbers are up for college sports during the NIL era. The NCAA tried to argue against this. Why? Because when dollars go into the pockets of athletes, they have to come from somewhere. And the NCAA was terrified that it would come out of their pockets. This was never about amateurism. This was never about, oh, we're going to make college minor league sports and Americans don't like minor league sports. This was always entirely and completely about the fact that the NCAA went, uh-oh, our top-tier dollar makers are going to make slightly fewer dollars. And we're not on board with that. And now that we have got two full years worth of ratings, two full football seasons, and at least the first two rounds of the March Madness tournament ratings in, not only have the numbers not come down, which proves that all of the arguments of people will care less if the athlete's getting played were bunk from the beginning, but the numbers are going up. And NIL may very well be a reason for that. Texas said, man, that's a lazy take by that rep. Literally have thousands of minor league sports around the U.S., most of which are loved by their local fans. Yeah, that's exactly right. Saturday afternoon, I'm going to be at Furman Paladin Stadium watching the Greenville Triumph play, along with a few thousand of my close friends. The Greenville Swamp Rabbits pay me to come in and entertain fans at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena season after season. The Greenville Drive do the same. All minor league, all successful, all not going anywhere. Now, no, they're not packing 110,000 in like they did at the Big House. But I think the fact that over 17 million people tuned in for a single football game between two of the teams that have benefited most from NIL proves that all the arguments that, oh, we don't care about non-amateur athletics, was a dishonest and now proven incorrect take from the very beginning. Let's take a break. Coming up in the next hour of the show, got a few more topics I want to get into, a little bit of soccer. We got a preview tonight, Sweet 16 matchups, and more on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.